Welcome to the Popcorn Talk Network, for the online broadcast network that features movie discussion, news, and interviews. Press one.
Popcorn Talk. We talk movies.
From the Popcorn Talk Network, the online broadcast network for movie talk, we bring you on an expedition through the depths of the movie industry to discuss the amazing, terrible, and amazingly terrible movies based on video games. Our hosts' entire lives are dedicated to a single goal. Probably. Answering the age-old question, do games make good movies?
Ladies and gentlemen of the... Maybe not.
Hello. Ladies and gentlemen of the internet. Halloween may be over, but the scares are just starting to roll in. Welcome to Video Game Movie Anatomy. Today we're covering Dead Space Downfall, the prequel to the critical receptive... It's a really popular video game known as Dead Space, is the words that I'm trying to say. There are the words... I can't even grammar. So, welcome...
I can't grammar. Sentence that has ever been on the show.
That's me.
That's what you do.
I am one of your hosts of the internet, Soapbox Mark. You can follow me on Twitter at Soapbox Mark. Use the hashtag VGM Anatomy to talk to us about this movie. Joining me, full panel! We have our full 2.0 panel. It's wonderful. Miss Daisy the Grand.
Exciting. Hi there, guys.
And where can the folks find you on Twitter?
You can find me at Ye Olde Nerd, although more than likely I'll be tweeting off of at Nerds Doing Stuff.
Yes, very good nerd website for anybody who needs to be kept in the loop. Go and follow them on Twitter,
yeah.
Mr. Patrick Dees.
What is up? You can find me at P to the Dees. Tell me how wrong I am about Dead Space Downfall.
This will be great.
Yes,
this is going to be
great. I'm pretty excited.
So to kind of give an idea of like a general feelings of how you thought the movie was, we're doing something that we call the speed run. So it's kind of a definitive statement. For example, Mortal Kombat has a cheesy script, nails the spirit of the game.
Yes.
Super quick, super easy. Patrick, you seem pretty excited. Why don't we start with you?
I'm just excited. So I'm going to put on my announcer voice. Dead Space Downfall, the animated sequel to the popular video game Dead Space that nobody needed or wanted.
Ooh, Stacy.
Really short and simple.
That's flipping. It's speedy.
I was pretty excited.
That was super
you
speedy.
Said speed run.
Mine's not quite as speedy, guys.
Fair enough.
All right. Dead Space Downfall was bogged down with acting that is simultaneously overdramatic and underplayed, animation more suited to comedy than horror, way too much plot exposition, but it does have a pretty fast-paced and fun action gore that is kind of in line with the spirit of the game.
You weren't terrified the entire time, is that what you're saying? You weren't edge of your seat scared, all right?
See, I like
it's two of us.
I thought I had an idea of the way that this episode was going to go,
I bet you did.
It's not going the way that I thought it was going to go. So go ahead and hit that high five.
Yeah,
I have nice things to say too. Okay. I promise.
I don't.
For my speed run, I was going to say Dead Space Downfall is one of the most accurate representations of a horror situation in a video game.
Okay.
And if it was live action, would probably get a lot more credit than the animated version deserves.
And so, like, I would say the caveat to that would be if it were live action and written well and, like, acted well, I can get behind. Like,
acting,
so the premise is all right for sure. And I'm like, and I'll say this too, and we can get into our experience with the video game, but, like, I'm a huge Dead Space guy.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm like, I like that universe. I think there's interesting stories to be told there. Unitology, all of that is fascinating. My problem was with this specific property,
okay.
Downfall. So we'll get into it.
Yeah, so this, for those of you who do not know, Dead Space Downfall was an animated prequel to the original Dead Space game. It takes place at the same time as the sidestepping game Dead Space Extraction.
It does. Yes.
So it's multiple things happening on the Ishimura before our good old boy Isaac Clarke shows up and tears some stuff apart.
Yes!
My man, Isaac. We're going to talk about our connection to the game once we get into the plot, but we're going to keep going with our controller toss moment. Now this moment is a moment when you're watching the film and you suddenly have a "you've got to be kidding me" and you throw the controller across the room. For this, I could even consider it a scare or something in terms of gore.
Nope.
Anywhere that you would want to go. Let's start with Stacey.
All right. So my controller toss moment was when Alyssa Vincent was, they're going to rescue this terrified group of people, and they find this girl huddled up in her bunk just looking horrified and crying, and she walks up to her, no preamble, and just goes, "You got a boyfriend?
You got a boyfriend?
You want to see him again?" And I just I had to pause.
And instantly she jumps right up like, oh, yeah,
Like, yep, and then she's like, do. Good girl. And I'm just like, oh, no.
Right.
Hold on, guys.
Patrick, as a Dead Space guy, do you know who that was?
I don't.
Okay, we'll get to that later when we talk a little bit more about it. There's a reason why that was so specific.
I like that you're teasing that out a little bit.
There's a reason why that was so specific. What about you, Patrick?
It was controller toss worthy. I will give you that. It was probably my honorable mention there. I think the very first time she suited up, and so fans of the Dead Space series are familiar with the actual, that game was kind of groundbreaking in the sense that they actually had like a HUDless,
lack of a HUD
completely, right? Like, so it surfaced the amount of bullets you have on your gun through in-world stuff, and your health meter is actually represented on your spine, right? So, but that was a function of those suits that they wore, right? The heavy-duty mining suits, exactly. The fact that she had a really sweet blazer with that. And it, like, it was fine, and I even when I saw her put it on, I'm like, that wasn't the moment where I wanted to throw my controller. It was actually when the captain died, and we saw it go, beep, 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 and I'm like, no, right there, throwing the controller across the room. What are we talking about?
Wow.
It was so dumb.
I mean, they used it as a storytelling device, but they kind of undermined the purpose of what it was in the game, because everybody had one of those things.
Right.
As if at any moment you're going to be pulled out into the vacuum of space and just instantly go down to red.
It would be useful if it, like, told your mood, right? Like, say, like, sir, I'm not going to approach that dude. He's, like, a purple right now. Or something along those, you know what I mean? But they didn't serve. It was groundbreaking in the game, and I think that's why it was a little frustrating. It felt like a very cheesy, like, way to tie back off to the game series that was completely unnecessary and, like, really took me out of it. So that was when I threw my controller across the room.
I can 100%.
Fair enough.
Yeah. That was when I was like, you're
what are we doing?
What are we doing?
For me, you know, fans of the show know I'm relatively pretty accepting. So there's
that one. Dude.
That I was like, I was up to throw it. And I was like, yeah, let's keep it down. I would say the first part where I would have totally checked out in that situation was when, I believe the character was Jen, the girlfriend of Bruce Boxleitner, the miner who's trying to escape from the rock.
Yes, right, yes.
Who just like, they're going to want our bodies, and then just almost totally takes her head off. It's like, nope! Like that, I'm not a big fan of scary games.
Yep.
Dead Space was one of the ones where I had to hand it over to a friend and just like, be like,
not doing this.
Not doing it.
Not to the side.
Doing this.
All of this is going
to
be your problem.
Sure.
Not my problem.
Wait, so you prefer to watch a scary game? Not
all the time.
Okay, that's even worse for me because I don't have the control, right? Like, at the very least, I like to be like, architect of my own destiny kind of thing in those terrifying moments.
You can try to run away.
I'm talking about for
Right.
For Dead Space specifically, that's when I was first trying to start to get into like video games media.
Yeah.
So it would be here, you play this one, you play that one.
Okay, fair enough.
So I went over to a friend's house and we were all playing Dead Space for the stupid show. But so that's where it started. I ended up finishing the game on onesie, but when starting out in the game and first, like the first couple of Necromorph reveals was just like, nope. So for this moment, well, I mean, there's a little bit of an animation goof where he was running down the hall with her, and there was no blood whatsoever. No, like half like crappy like tin can neck.
The head
off
would be bouncing. Yeah,
no,
yeah.
But it was flopping just like around. Ah, whatever, it's fine. And then one minute takes her off, all the blood explodes. But I would say the first establishment of how insane the violence was going to be was that first beheading.
And was it just me, or did he like underreact to that moment to the degree that I was like, if I saw a loved one literally cut their own head off, I would lose my mind. He's kind of like, no, why? And like, I don't.
That
this is the first indicator, right, that this is not going
to
be.
That was the most disappointing scene for me in the entire movie, because I thought that scene had the potential to actually be really creepy and really horrifying.
Sure.
And I think both of them acted it so horrifically.
Hers was almost acceptable, right? Because if she's
unfortunate.
Almost, but it could have been so much better.
Fair enough, I agree.
It could have been so scary. Yep. It could have been super creepy and set up the movie to be something suspenseful and kind of really.
Considering she was
scary.
Almost the alpha when they got to the space station, they could have used her a lot. I mean, and they might have, and it might have been a budget concern as seen from some of the animation. But there's a lot that probably had to be cut. And I think you can also attribute that to Colin Barrow, the character played by Bruce Boxleitner's madness from being around the spire. He could have gotten anything, sort of a, I can do anything and I can save her every, and just totally gone, But it's also an acting choice of what side of that spectrum do you play, and, and I can agree he dropped the ball on that.
Yeah, I think it could have been so good. And
I agree, it's a great setup, right? That scene could be really terrifying, and that was kind of that first red light, like, I don't know, I'm going to dig this so much.
I mean, even the animation in that scene, that was one of the times where I legitimately thought the animation was pretty scary and pretty creepy.
Yeah, it was a good setup, right? Like, her head was out of frame when she came dragging in the saw. Like, again, I was really edge of my seat, ready to invest, and I was like, all right, so this is what we're... here's what we're
and
doing.
And this is the movie we're watching.
Yes, exactly, exactly.
So, quick breakdown of the movie. Dead Space Downfall is the animated horror prequel to Dead Space that shows the events leading up to the beginning of Dead Space game and how the necromorph infection spread to the USG Ishimura from the mining colony on Aegis 7. This... we've started out with a little bit of... this movie. You know, let's just move on. When we get to the actual plot section, we'll do it a little bit more. Let's start with our stars. Nika Futterman plays Alyssa Vincent, and she has had a wonderful career. I could only put so many credits. She doesn't have as many as Jim Cummings, but her most current and most popular, biggest credits were in Avatar The Last Airbender. She was a part of Jet's group of ne'er-do-wells, a Smeller Bee. I know there's a couple fans here at this table of that series. She's in the new Sonic Boom series, bringing it back to video games as Styx, who's a new character in the Sonic universe, and apparently that show's pretty dang good. Sonic Boom related, that cartoon is actually not bad.
Okay.
Actually has to be like their roommate for some weird odd-couply reason, and it's not terrible. And of course, Star Wars The Clone Wars as Asajj Ventress, and for some of you fans of the original trilogy, Cy Snoodles. She's had a wonderful one, and also we have in the picture that I've included, we also have her as she was in Infamous 2 as well. I totally dropped the name. She was the fire.
Facing it. Nobody, I know we're talking about. Okay,
I have the name on the picture, but it's not up. Cool. So that's okay. And of course, I think the next biggest character when it comes to a change was Captain Matthias, played by Jim Cummings and friend of the show. But let me just name off a couple of franchises: Winnie the Pooh, Looney Tunes, Powerpuff Girls, Biker Mice from Mars, Aladdin, Earthworm Jim, Gummy Bears, Chippendale Rescue Rangers, Princess and the Frog, Transformers, DuckTales, and much, much more. So this movie, cast in general, as well as just Jim Cummings and Nika Futterman, is a who's who of voice actors.
No, yeah, it's a talented group, for sure.
To roll out the rest of the cast, we've got Hal Sparks as Ramirez, Phil Morris as Hansen and Glenn, Kelly Hu as Shen, Keith Zarabatka as Dr. Terrence Kine is the only person that is actually the voice in the game as well as in the movie, which is a kind of cool connection. Kevin Michael Richardson, that alone, another powerhouse, with Samuel Adams, Pendleton, and another minor. Jeff Bennett, Greta Lyle, Bruce Boxleitner, Leah Sargent, Maurice LaMarche, just to name a few. Were there any voices that popped out at you that were like, oh, I know who this person is?
Going through it, I mean, I'm really bad with voices, especially with animated things, so most of them had to be pointed out to me before I started writing. But someone makes the connection, I'm like, oh, I hear that, and I, you know, and then I get it, but making the connection is tough for me.
Okay, so nobody's super... Jim Cummings.
Jim Cummings, for sure. Yeah, that I picked up on.
It certainly wasn't fiction breaking, though. Like, if you might have noticed it, like, I felt like, whatever. It worked in fiction, for sure.
This seemed like a good crowd for this type of a movie.
Dude, and, like, again, it goes back. It kind of bums me out because there aren't any more Dead Space games. You know, EA is on record saying there won't be anytime soon. But, like, this came out in 2008, right? And, like, where they were really investing in new intellectual properties and really doing this, we joke about this word a lot on the show, but transmedia play, right? All this, Dead Space in 2008 was everywhere, right? No expense was to be spared. It was their next big thing. Video games, this movie, like comic books, like they, all kinds of properties. And so it kind of bums me out that they brought in this all-star cast. The movie ended up being what it was. The game's underperformed according to their, you know, quarterly earnings calls, and we're not getting any more Dead Space. It kind of bums me out. All of this, especially and we'll talk a little bit more about relationship to the game, but like just even hearing the audio made me really pine for like another Dead Space. Like it made me miss it.
just to be in this world yes. with the Unitologists totally. And everything. This movie. The plot for so it's,
for those of you can't get home. That's this movie this number two. I'm just going to add another finger every time. It's,
might as well.
Yeah,
it's a good indicator.
That's really the best way to put it. So as we mentioned, this is supposed to set up Dead Space, right. and if you've played Dead Space and you listen to all the audio logs in the game, this is supposed to happen over the course of a couple of weeks. But for the case of this movie, add another one. You got to sort of quicken the pace.
Sure.
Right. So in that regard, in making it a little bit more of a sudden reaction as to why nobody could really fight back, do you think that worked as in that dimension?
You look pensive. So like here's the thing. I think like horror is this movie's confusing to me because I understand their intention to blow up this intellectual property, like time and place for sure. But like the thing about horror is a lot of times less is more, guys. Mm-hmm. When you know less about that world, it's a little bit scarier. Your mind fills in those gaps and it becomes a little bit more terrifying. And this, like Dead Space in and of itself in a vacuum is terrifying, not knowing what happened on the Ichimura. This was not an additive property. Like it would not have enriched my gameplay experience at all. Mm-hmm. So I'm trying to figure out like what they were trying to get out of this.
I think this might have been reactionary. This might have been, we may have something here. People are going to want to know what happens, so let's start. Just like this might
capitalize on it.
Yeah.
That's
what it seems like. But
would you
they made another one?
Because
there's one that's supposed to bridge the gap between one and two, and that one we'll probably cover on the show too.
Well, so riddle me this. Fingers crossed. Riddle me this. Would you say this is an additive property in your opinion, Mark?
This 100% an additive property because we have this event in the game.
Right.
Like we don't live it, we don't experience it, but the fact that we have the shuttle carrying Isaac and the rest of the crew that ends the film. Like this is 100% extra.
Yep.
This isn't Dead Space the movie.
No, but would you say it's in a plus? It's a net positive, or do you think it's like net neutral? You don't like does it enrich your gameplay, or would it have at the time?
No, I don't think so. Because there are definitely things like the most recent Star Wars book, Lost Stars, that has enriched all of my it's going to enrich my Battlefront playing. It's going to enrich watching the original trilogy again, and it's going to enrich episode 7.
You're selling me.
No, it's great. It's an awesome young adult novel. I would highly recommend it. But that's something that makes me think of this character in this spot, and this character in that spot.
Oh, interesting.
So it didn't really do that, of course, because everybody dies.
Yep.
So it's hard to do that with a horror property where you can't really have any hope.
And I stick by less is more, right? Like, I mean, some of the part of that's that mystery and it being a little bit terrifying and the discovery.
Right, and the fact that the movie started out by explaining exactly what was happening and why it was happening, it really took away from it being a horror movie.
Yeah, I don't think it needed the preamble of the final transmission, because that kind of killed any sort of so you're the last survivor.
Right.
Except, of course, for Dr. Klein, or Dr. Kine, who we know shows up back up in the game. But aside from that, definitely didn't need that preamble.
Way overkill. We didn't need that explanation. It would have been way scarier if we had a little more mystery to it.
I agree. Is there any... So highlights. Let's talk highlights. Let's talk positive things. What were some things in the movie that you enjoyed? Did you enjoy the Unitology crew, like the Unitologist crew members, and that little bit where that's a little bit religious, or
so? I appreciate Unitology as a whole. Like that concept is fascinating, and really, this whole faith versus like people being capable of independent thought is explored to an amazing degree in the games.
Yeah,
and so for me, like I can't even say that was a highlight because it was really ham fisted. They were like they were obtuse in a way that's just a completely unrealistic. Like, well, I mean, maybe that's the point, right? These ideologies rob you of a capacity for independent thought. But like, for me, I would say the thing that I dug was, again, that audio design, their commitment to like the doors opening and like how rich Tolkien always used to say that culture is in the details. And like, they did a great job in that world of creating like all these details that make it feel lived in and like old. And like, so they did, for me, it was the audio. It was the hearing that the comms chime in and like seeing the stuff on the HUD pop up.
Yeah.
I know those are ridiculous pluses, but I'm trying to be positive here. Again, it made me pine. And I would say like that's a pretty good indicator, right? Like if it made me pine for another game. I'm like,
and it made you want to,
yeah.
Totally.
It's perfect.
In that way, that was a success. I actually enjoyed a lot of the action and kind of gore that the movie brought along. I thought they did a pretty good job with the animation style that they had, because let's be real, that animation style is more Scooby-Doo than anything that's actually scary. And that's what I thought when watching it. I mean, I can't be any more scared than I would be watching Scooby-Doo and Scooby-Doo.
Oh, that
would have
been perfect if old man Altman showed up and was like, I would have gotten away with it if it weren't for you meddling kids. That I would watch.
They unmask all of the necromorphs and the whole crew's just in on it.
Like, and there's some weird flashlight effect in the corner. Like, yeah, just, yeah.
I mean, you can put blood splatter on anything, but if it looks kind of like it's animated like Scooby-Doo, it's not going to get that scary,
like,
unfortunately.
I'm with you.
There was the guy who they kept sedating, who looked down and saw his reflection in the blood. I was like, that's not a thing!
Yeah, no. That was another question. Yeah, like, okay, guys,
that was probably
really?
A control of the test. I was like, that, come on!
Really?
I don't... Oh, it's kind of good for horror. No, that's not good for anything. It's funny that you should mention Scooby-Doo really quick about the film's director, Chuck Patton. He is a former DC Comics animator, artist, and then he went into animation, which included stuff like G.I. Joe, Captain N, The Adventures of Super Mario, Inspector Gadget Saves Christmas.
We see a lot of DNA here.
Oh,
you're totally
absolutely.
Right.
Absolutely. Well, and when I learned that after watching the movie, I was like, oh, that all makes a lot of sense now.
Has a bit of a style to him.
Sure, sure. Mm-hmm.
But the gore is an interesting thing to bring up. Just the total evisceration, the threat that the necromorphs actually pose was, I think, really the only thing that saved this movie. Because it wasn't just, oh, stab, you're dead, because you saw people rip that stuff out and keep trying to fight back.
Really creative death in this movie.
The plasma saw just totally taking Shen all the way out. But, or just, there was the one where there was like a pack of them just ripping people apart and... That was, I think, the one thing that made them a credible threat, which kind of made you scared for the safety of our team.
I thought the shower thing was terrifying. Like, he wants to get chased by a necromorph
terrifying.
In the shower. Yeah. Like, that
I
sounds
loved
terrible.
They had to include just this naked guy running through the hall.
Sure,
screaming.
Why not?
And then he had to become a naked necromorph as well.
Yeah.
I mean, on top of that. So, hey.
No, you're totally
full
right.
Full circle. It was great.
It's like, do we have to... We have a... that's an animated penis. All right. Thank you. That's EA's budget right there.
All of it.
And then you see the scared girl in the locker room, and I'm like, okay, all right, do we need one of these two? That was...
Of course.
Why not?
Yeah, throw it in there.
So we already talked about a controller toss moments for the most ridiculous, but what was some dialogue or some scenes that really made you go, son of a bitch?
Do you want to go first? I have so many.
Okay,
how much time do we have?
We have some time.
Fair enough.
So one of the scenes that really bugged me and kind of stuck with me was when Barrow is coming back in the pod. Mm-hmm. And he's trying to... So it's that classic, like, trying to beat the doors closing and get in. But it was so overdramatic and it kept flashing back and forth
between all of these scenes so many times.
It was like his face and then the doors and then the command panel. And I was like, oh, God.
What was the line?
It was like, fuck you, I'm crashing in or landing. I'm getting off of this place. I ain't going back there. Or something like that.
It was a good line.
Bro, Tron, chill.
The scene going on around it was just too much to handle.
He's trying to get in, but he's like,
I know in a minute we're going to recast. I want you as that role.
Like,
yeah, you just can't
do it.
I'm convinced. I'm going to close my eyes.
I need a couple of years on me. I personally liked how much language was in this movie, because I don't expect people in this situation to be like, oh, darn it, they're going to get us.
Right.
Oh,
yeah, shucks.
So, no, that was one thing that I liked.
Yeah.
It's like, this, I'm there.
For sure.
Shen, especially. I was like, yeah, Shen is me in this situation.
She swears better than
I
do.
I would be talking.
And it helped establish what little of a relationship that security group had. Because, right off the bat, it was quit, danger.
Yeah.
You care about them, right? Good.
We don't need any background about these characters, and we didn't get any.
No, he's dying. Who is he? I don't even.
What was his name again? I had several of those.
I got nothing. Hanson?
Sure.
The first one to die was Dobbs. I do remember
Dobbs,
that.
Okay. Lou Dobbs. Got
R.I.P.
Oh, Jeff Bennett. There he is. Jeff Bennett. That's a good one. Now, Patrick.
So I think I agonize over this part, but I think the one that I literally laughed out loud at. Do you remember the scene where the captain's trying to be sedated, right? And we see this, they telegraph him getting punctured through the eye a mile away. They show his eye right when he pulls out the needle. I'm like, no, Dead Space, no, don't.
And he's walking really slow.
Don't needle in the eye, don't. And like at the minute they tussle, you know it's going in his ocular cavity. Yeah. So anyway, he gets the needle through the face. The captain falls on the floor. The other group comes in and he says something. He says, and I quote, "The sedative must have punctured the brain. He's dead." And I'm like, "No, you idiot! The needle punctured his brain. You stabbed him in the eye. Take the needle out of the equation. The sedative didn't hurt him." So yeah, I paused it and laughed. I thought that was pretty great.
For a part that we hear about in the game, that was probably the most anticlimactic to see it actually happen.
Yep,
it was very sudden.
Yeah, it was very ham-fisted for sure.
Yeah, but it's like you saw it. He killed the captain.
Right?
No, you were holding him down.
And then the reaction that goes on, like all the arrest him. Yeah. Wait, but I mean, you were all
in the
standing
room.
Here.
You were in the goddamn
happened.
Room. No,
what?
Totally.
You're an accessory.
Exactly.
Mean, later, he makes this comment about like, oh, it might have been justified, but it doesn't even matter. And I'm like, what? Yes, it does. No, yes, it does.
No, the show does a lot of that. These throwaway lines. You remember one of the guys was like, bunch of weird stuff. So there's been the murders and then the suicides, and that guy goes, hey man, it's deep space. Weird shit happens.
Immediately after that, they wander into a situation where clearly something is wrong. I mean, the walls are covered
with
all this stuff. And like, I'm gonna go look at my
girlfriend. Yeah,
bye.
Yeah.
And just like,
totally
ignore
all
like,
of that.
What?
I'm a check.
Have you ever seen a horror movie?
But it wasn't even in a sense of like, something's wrong. I need to make sure that she's
like, all right.
Just
like,
I'll
see you
I'm
later.
Gonna go check out my boo.
Yeah.
Archer, you know, Tron, exactly. Go ahead.
When Bay's lost in a necromorph invasion.
And I'm like,
it was rough. I thought she had a bunch of really stupid lines. She said, the way I see it, we have two options, fight or die. I was like, I don't know. Yeah, she had a couple die trying lines too. Yeah, just like, I don't.
Oh, it was constantly repeated for the second half of the movie.
I wanted to be like somebody, one of the background guys, like interrupter. Like, yeah, we know number two. Like, we have two options. We know the second one.
We
mentioned that.
The death part. Awesome.
We got
you got
that
it.
Down.
We've seen a lot of our friends get eviscerated.
And I like how nobody. We never got explained the escape pods.
No.
Oh, I noted that down. Like, just, what? Like, they're just. Okay.
Hey, 1 through 25, and then the doctor leaves, and then 26 through 50. That was all of them. That was dramatic!
Wow, thanks.
Oh my god, the escape pods!
Right.
Well, anyway, that sucked. What's next? That's what a lot
Rolling
of the...
Rolling with the punches, okay?
Yeah. Whew, man. I wish something would turn up that's good. They kind of ran out of time. You can tell that they ran out of time in the production-wise and probably wanted to spend more time with, like, the final confrontation, where Kine was explaining, no, we can't let this get to Earth.
Making
Everything
a lot of
gonna,
sense, by the
no,
way.
He was the only person who made sense.
Right.
Totally, a lot
he
of sense.
On, I don't know why she was fighting him so hard, because he had it right. Mm-hmm. I mean, he really... kind of knew what was going on.
He was the real hero.
It was too much common sense in that room. She couldn't handle it. So she punched him in the face.
Yeah.
Stop!
Nine times!
Stop making
That's
sense!
That's logical!
We don't have time for your perfectly logical explanations.
Nope.
I gotta turn this ship around. We gotta get to Earth.
Yep.
Even though everybody's about to die.
Yeah. It'll be fine. We just have to get to Earth and everything is magic.
Yeah, we're gonna get to Earth and we're gonna take this rock with us.
It's fine.
Was the and it was also kind of weird seeing the captain very, very, very clearly be a unitologist and sweating at any mention of the thing. Where that's another part in the game where he was supposedly a zealot. He was a zealot, and it comes out 5 seconds before he dies that he was this huge zealot. So this is definitely, as you were mentioning before, not an additive property.
No, I don't think so. I mean, didn't further anything in the universe. I don't know why this exists, is my point.
for this show.
So we can talk about
yes,
it.
Yes, yeah,
exactly.
Obviously. They had a lot of foresight. EA, those guys are sharp.
They're on
that's
it.
What we gotta call EA. We're gonna have a couple of people here. It's gonna work out. But, any other big things from the plot that you liked, didn't like, bothered you, will carry with you for the rest of time?
One of the
Definitely not that.
All right, not that. Nope.
Once the show's over, call
yeah,
just out. Yeah.
I have a limited amount of RAM up here, right? Like, it's just out of here. Sorry, go ahead.
Oh, well, one of the things that I did appreciate was when they were kind of exploring as a team and working their way through, I liked the dialogue a lot of the times. It had a very video game feel. It sounded a lot of kind of like what you would hear as you were working the way
like
down
we have to get to the next
doors.
Thing.
Right, yeah. It was, I don't know, it was kind of goal-based like that. I mentioned backup and assets and things like that. That was a kind of an interesting touch that tied it into the game for me.
I can see that. Was anybody sad that we didn't see the actual plasma cutter, but just the saw?
Yeah, a lot. Like, so I think they had a good opportunity to, like, that game's all about strategic dismemberment, right? Mm-hmm. Like, and they,
right.
for the most part, I mean, they used some, like, plasma tools, but they just shot most of the
But then
movie.
They started to learn, because you saw right. they started to shoot out the knees, and then they cut off the arms and then the head.
Right.
A couple times.
So, yeah, I would say, like...
It was a very slow evolution right. to the very end, where there were very few people left to figure all of that mm-hmm. out.
Right. Yeah. I don't know. Like, it was a missed opportunity is my point. Because right. that stuff is kind of terrifying.
Yeah.
And that, like, I loved that line, too. He's like, these guys seem to take a lot of bullets, but these this things will slow them right down. And the other guy's like, yeah, we noticed. Like,
yeah, we got it.
Yeah, we saw you just save yeah. us.
I hope you die next.
Can I say that?
That's so bizarre.
That's wow. so bizarre.
Yeah, just missed opportunity is my point.
Yeah, there's a lot of missed opportunity. James in the booth, if you could do me a favor, you could bring up the DSD... 7, I believe, is the shot, so that we can see it up on the screen. Because I want to get to a little bit of why of I wanted to watch this movie because I'm a fan of the Dead Space franchise,
yeah,
and,
yeah.
and I had a lot of hope for this when yep. this first came out. I really, really hope that this would lead to something cool. But we're gonna go back to forwards about the game, and it while it did fall a little bit short. It was kind of cool to see how this stuff came to be. A little bit. Like, this okay. seems like something that... this seems like a what-if. Like, somebody's playing the game and I go, oh, I bet this happened and this happened and that happened.
Right.
Even though it's like, but this other thing, it didn't... This is like an Earth 2 of what happened yeah. on the Ishimura.
Okay, I can go with that. I like it.
Okay.
So, I think it was a big missed opportunity, right? Like, Dead Space is a series about loss and coping with loss. And like Isaac Clarke is fascinating, especially in 2. Like when he's like more of a voice protagonist, and you really get in his head.
And also because 1 has a huge revelation at the end
yes.
that affects how you play that game again
totally.
And how you played that game.
Correct.
That made 2 the much more compelling game.
I totally agree, because that is a very divisive subject. You talk about people on Dead Space, and they will fight you over which one's a better game.
It was in the chapters. Like they
I know.
Yeah. So
although like and that which is why the third installment while they're pulling this up. So the third installment bummed me out so much. I don't know if you played all the way through 3.
A friend of mine got it for the wrong console, so I never ended up playing it.
Yeah, so like I won't spoil anything, but people who have played it understand the term zombie moon. We run into like a whole necromorph living moon. I won't get into it. It just gets batshit insane, is my point. But 2 is this beautiful sweet spot of, like, this is true terror, but also, like, a really compelling narrative. A guy, like, coping with loss and trying to figure out, like, very PTSD and understands that everybody around him dies or gets hurt despite his best efforts. I think it's really compelling stuff. And, like, none of that DNA made this.
Oh, nothing. There was nothing behind the character.
No. And obviously you had a lot less time to do
right.
that, but...
Yeah.
So I don't know.
But it definitely was not a priority either.
Yeah,
I mean,
fair enough. Yeah, again, like, Mark, it's interesting. When you brought this up, I just didn't... I don't know why this thing exists. That's what
really?
I mean, because it... I mean, we're a few years out from this, you know, right? So I couldn't figure out, like, where... Like, in what universe there was a demand for this.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I think to your point, maybe it just is a reactionary piece.
That's probably the best theory. It's like, hey, let's roll with this. We got a game coming out. This can for Extraction. This can help promote Extraction, and Extraction was big on the Wii, starting to pull up some of our things. So the blonde that our hero Alyssa asks, hey, do you have a boyfriend?
Right.
I think I figured
is
out
Nicole
who,
Brennan. Isaac's girlfriend you're looking for
I
the whole time.
As soon as you brought it up,
yeah.
I made that connection.
That's why
right
it
then,
was
yeah.
so specific.
okay, because
we could never see her
you
again.
You don't walk up to a person and just
do you have a boyfriend?
I mean, that's like, not the.
That's a really personal question.
Still, I mean, yeah, like
that's not the motivation that you necessarily
swipe
need
right?
To get out.
Like, my problem was like,
oh, but like, do you have a boyfriend? Like, I need to kiss somebody. Come here.
She did, but she flips a switch, right? Like she's like, oh, I do have a boyfriend, like, and then she's
oh,
fine.
Yeah,
exactly.
I can live.
Yes.
Oh, geez.
I find I can live because I have a man. Bechdel test fail. Another fun thing that's kind of a reference, we get to see other miners in the mining suits in that early scene. But
right.
I am sad that we don't get to see as many mining tools, like you mentioned before.
Yeah, right. I agree. I'm glad they made an appearance, but...
That's
a minor appearance.
You see
what you did there.
Damn it.
I know, it was really good.
Damn,
she's good.
Beat me to it.
She's
no,
good.
I know.
Sorry, guys.
We did get to see the Black Tower. I always forget. What it's called, what the Unitologists call it. Because there's the red sweater. The black marker, and then the red marker is the one that they have on Earth.
Mm-hmm.
Seeing that and how it inspires madness. And then, of course, the Necromorphs. What did you think of the early Necromorph designs? Did it weird dread seeing them in clothes?
A little bit. I mean, it worked. I mean, it was fine. Mm-hmm. It was about what I would have anticipated
right.
going into it. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And seeing a different forms of a transformation, was that all right? Was that cool?
I'm so tepid on this, and that's a
right.
bummer that I have like such a like because,
no, that's
because
a box quote. The box quote for this movie.
Like the game is so terrifying in a way that they slowly, you know, good horror, especially interactive horror, is one where you're really disempowered, right? That game's a lot about resource management. You don't have like an infinite amount of bullets, right? So you're not
right.
This isn't a power fantasy, right? You're doing your best to just survive. And this show didn't do any of that. So like literally everything I could say that makes Dead Space outstanding, this had almost none of.
It had names. Is about all it had.
Sure.
Just the people that you would recognize. Let's move to our favorite lines.
Our favorite?
Or a notable line. Could also be a second controller toss moment, though we already did have dialogue when it comes to that. I'll go first then. The time when I kind of had enough of it in general, this is no time to be a hero, Irons. I'm not a hero. I'm just a man.
you had to include it. I mean, come on.
But it's like, that dude's going to turn and he's going to be a really big necromorph. And they teased it, but they never had him show up again, which was kind of sad.
Mm-hmm.
I think all of it, like, fight or die, like, we cut first, ask questions later. Those are really stupid.
Yeah.
But again, I go back to the needle in the eye moment where they come back in and it's like, yeah, he's dead. That guy may have killed him, but it doesn't matter. And then they cut. They don't explore that way. It doesn't matter? What do you mean it doesn't matter? He's a captain of the goddamn ship.
That reminds me of another great one where
like what?
So Irons dies. The big dude dies. And then they come and they infect him and turn him into a necromorph. And they go, so that's how it works.
Oh, yeah. And then they just kind of
walk
away.
Yeah,
and I'm like,
totally
what are you doing?
That was so good. What about you for Lion's Day?
You know what? I'm gonna go with what Jen Barrow said right before she dies, and she, you know, they want our bodies. This is mine. I really liked that line. If it was performed better,
if it was better situated.
Yes, if it was put in there better. This isn't technically a line, but my other one was the middle finger salute from early on that Vincent gives.
In general, the language in the beginning, and mentioned it before, all of the F-bombs and the S-bombs, and making this seem very real and reactionary.
Hulu asked my age when I logged on to watch their show.
I don't know if you're old enough. It's just the language. It's not the violence.
I was born in 1918, according to Hulu. Just age verification.
Just whatever.
Just scroll down as far as I can and then hit that one.
Those things work.
I know they do.
100% of the time.
Always.
Since I've been 10, I've been 18 years old.
I know you have.
At least. So let's go to our recast. I changed this instead of to famous actors, mod actors, live action. So they're making a live action version of this movie. Who do you want playing? And we're going to start with Alyssa, our hero.
I gotta go. Look, and I know this is rough, and I know It's just my favorite movie of the year for sure, but I go to Charlize Theron. She would be such an ass kicking lead, and she's so strong, and she just destroys in Mad Max, right? And
I feel
like, and actually, like, and the, one of the reasons I chose that is because maybe because the ethos of that film is less is more. This movie needed a lot more of that, so you know, maybe she's a little bit more silent and a little less over the top, but she's such a badass that I really like Charlize Theron for the lead.
I agree with that.
Yeah, that's a really good one. I have Lena Headey, Cersei on Game of Thrones.
Damn it. Don't screw with
that
Ms.
That was a good one.
That's really good. I'm terrified of that woman.
I said Scarlett Johansson.
Okay, I can see that.
Yeah.
For sure.
I like all of these. I don't know.
We'll just have to make three movies.
I like Lena. Yeah, we'll make three, and it'll be different parts of her life. That'll work. Captain Matthias.
Who do you have? I'm interested. You looked really pensive when we were talking about this off mic.
It was funny. I actually have Bruce Boxleitner, who is also in this movie as Colin Barrow. The guy's like, I'm just a son of a bitch, god damn it.
Okay.
Because he has a stateliness to him that he could bend and be that manic guy under pressure.
Sure.
That you can see the slow change with him as opposed to, and he can maintain his composure.
Yeah.
And as we've seen in the movie, he can break and have this huge, just like crazy, insane moment.
Yeah.
But he always kind of has a regalness and somebody that you can trust.
Right.
And then he turns on a dime for you. Just for, Tron, notably, just because that's one of my favorite movies and one of my favorite characters he's done. He's a hero. He is the hero.
Yeah.
So you see him as a stately old captain, and then he turns out to be a crazy religious zealot. I like it.
Who do you have, Stacey?
I put down Andrew Lincoln from the role. From Walking Dead.
Walking Dead.
He plays Rick.
Yeah.
I felt like he could turn on that kind
Carl!
Of...
Carl! It's the one impression I have. I just yell Carl over and over again. It's pretty spot on. Yeah, that's... I'm killing it. Andrew Lincoln's great. That's a really good choice.
Yeah, what about you?
I got Scott Bakula... Or I would
Bakula.
Go Sam Neill, but I really like Scott Bakula. If I had to choose, he'd be my number one choice.
I like Bakula a lot.
If he's unavailable, I go Sam Neill.
Just because I don't watch Walking Dead, I'd have to go Bakula.
He's got gray on the temples, and that guy could flip the switch.
And he's been a Starship Captain, so you can believe
that.
I didn't
even think of that. I was more Quantum Leap was in my head, but I like older Bakula. I think he would kill in this role.
Mm-hmm. I agree with that. So Ramirez, which was the last surviving member of the team, played by Hal Sparks. Anybody want to go first?
I put Dwayne Johnson because I think he would do an excellent job.
What?
So weird.
I don't know if the camera got your reaction. Just like, I don't know.
Whoa, the weirdest thing was, I was thinking, should I put Rock in this? Nah.
Absolutely.
I'd go a little bit sheepish. A little bit more sheepish.
Who do you go sheepish?
Okay.
I would go Michael Pena. From Ant-Man.
Oh, no, I know that.
Yeah.
Okay. His range is unparalleled
exactly.
as far as I'm concerned, and I don't...
Right.
I'm not even going to mention it. I'm going to crib yours 100%. We've settled it. It's sold. He's so good.
Yeah, he's just good at
in
everything
he does. And he would be perfect.
Because you can get a little bit
really
of the
excellent.
Comedic and a little bit of
totally.
The serious with him
yep.
without going full...
And it's funny, they did End of Watch together. I was actually thinking Jake Gyllenhaal for that role. Because I like Gyllenhaal in everything. Mm-hmm. But that's a miscast. I think Pena is the right answer.
That's a great casting.
Sold.
Johnson's great. I think he would go for the second team member that dies in the mess hall.
Okay.
Yeah.
But they wouldn't waste a big name like The Rock on that death.
Who's the big guy? The Unitologist believer with the pendant?
Irons. Samuel Irons.
Are we going to recast them?
We can.
I'm just interested. Like, so that guy screams John Goodman to me. Just screamed.
I like Stacey's.
Let's do yours.
Oh, I have Lawrence Fishburne.
Larry Fishburne.
Okay.
I do like the seasoned bit. Good classic Goodman, I would say, but now he's really kind of gaunt.
Okay.
I think Larry still has some action scenes left in him.
Lawrence Fishburne. So weird story. I actually met Lawrence Fishburne in a grocery store, and that dude projects. He's a big dude. You think he's not that big? I mean, I'm 6'4". I'm a massive human being
you're
for sure.
Being.
But he was tiny. Like if I got in a fight with Morpheus, I kind of think I'd win. I don't know. Like I can't cast him in anything.
Okay,
if they broke
that
illusion for me. I'm like
it
I don't.
Would ruin
but
fight.
Yeah, they could do like a classic John Wayne thing and make all of the things shorter so he looks taller or something like that.
Yeah, I'm on board. Yeah. That's a good cast.
And then for our last one, we're going Dr. Kine. Who wants to go first?
I'm gonna have to think about mine.
Yeah.
He's the last one I was on the fence about a couple, so go ahead, please.
Okay. Do you want to go?
Yeah, go ahead.
Oh, all right. I put Clark Gregg.
I like that.
I think he kind of has that.
He's a very rational person.
Right.
Who's Clark Gregg?
Agent Coulson from S.H.I.E.L.D. As well as the Marvel movies.
I think he can kind of play that rational, but still a little bit on the edge with his personal agenda in there. Because I think that's kind of how.
And we don't get to see that too often with him, but when we do, like when he was really starting to find out about Tahiti on S.H.I.E.L.D. Yeah, that would work.
Oh, that's interesting.
I put Brent Spiner.
Who? Data.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. That's a really good one.
Because hearing him as the Joker, we know that he can go a little bit darker. Yep. And then seeing not just Data, but also his role in Independence Day. He was kind of a mad doctor in that, but peel that back to a little bit more of a Joker seriousness.
I think that could work.
Okay,
I kind of can get behind it. So, it's interesting. I went, and I know that it's not perfect, but I wanted this role. I think that I would have recast him, and then the direction would have been different. I wanted him a little bit more charismatic. Like, I wanted a Clooney-type figure in that who could sell kind of where he's going. And then Clooney's always 2 degrees off from his thing, but I wanted that role out of that character.
Okay. I can see that.
Right.
Because if he had a little bit more charm, I'm sure it would have been less of an uphill battle for that man.
And less people go, he totally killed that guy.
He's crazy.
He just been like,
pushed a needle totally through his eye.
To be honest.
It was the sedative. I'm sorry, it was so dumb.
He's pretty handsome, so I don't blame him for doing that.
Exactly.
He's a good looking guy.
We didn't even see it over his handsomeness. I don't even know what happened.
I don't know what's going on.
Yeah.
Final thoughts. About Dead Space Downfall.
I don't have any. I'm going to quote you. This movie. It was fine. I've said it 4 or 5 times during the course of the show. I'm bummed that there's no more Dead Space. And, I'm bummed to some degree. And EA's revisiting this. But, we talk about games in general. That was an EA that was, bringing out Dead Space. Was bringing out
Mirror's Edge,
right? And we're seeing a revisiting of that, which was really critically acclaimed, but sold. I mean, it was a dumpster fire of a sales record.
Unfortunately,
So it just made me miss that universe a whole bunch. I even played. Did you guys get a chance to play Dead Space 3 at all?
No, I
played the demo. I never played the full game.
I would encourage people, if you're at home and you're watching this and you haven't played Dead Space 3, go back and play this. Just because, play it co-op.
Co-op or not.
It does 100% do co-op because it does this thing and it's incredible, and I'll close on this because I'll get a chance to talk about video games. So you playing as one Isaac Clarke and you play the friend, right? And the friend is not as accustomed to the markers. So he slowly goes insane over the course of the campaign. So as the friend, you see things that Isaac Clarke doesn't see. And my brother, as I was playing through this, he would scream, "What's that in the corner? Oh my God, what's that in the corner? Jesus Christ, that's a toy soldier in the corner." And I'm like, there is nothing there. And he's shooting at the open air. And then he would see necrophores, and he would have a heart attack shooting around in this space, and I wasn't seeing anything. And it really, really worked. It's cool,
incredible.
Right? They took
really
chances
cool.
and they did some really neat things with that campaign. So if you're going to invest the next hour and a half of your life, don't watch Dead Space Downfall. Play Dead Space 3.
And I think you can do that with the Xbox One's backwards compatibility that's coming out in a few weeks. Dead Space is going to be a part of that list.
Cool. I hope so.
Final thoughts, Stacey.
I think the movie could have had potential if it didn't have so many things working against it, from the animation to some of the acting.
Scooby-Doo.
It was an interesting idea. Yeah, that really killed it for me. It really ruined it.
The first frame that I pulled for the Necromorphs image was really bad.
Really?
It was awful. But it was kind of in the middle of motion, so it's not supposed to look good.
Mm-hmm. Right, sure.
Yeah, but it was still just so this is what I just watched. That's pretty bad.
Because there were some moments that could have been really terrifying, but then you just see it's kind of this comedic animation style.
Weep
and
bonk.
You don't take it as seriously, unfortunately.
Abbott and Costello are going to come around the other corner.
Anvils are falling on people. It's a mess.
It was tough.
I'd have paid good money for an anvil. You know what I meant? We didn't get a stomp. I just wanted one Isaac's signature.
They mentioned something about when the unitologists thing was like, "Don't make me, I'm going to stomp your nuts off," or something like that. And I was
nuts are going to get stomped.
Yeah, something like that.
That was weird.
Does Isaac ever stomp a necro nut?
It depends, I guess.
That's a good point.
But the super squishy, I could have gone for one of those. That would have been great. The best part about this movie is wanting to go back and play Dead Space
again. I'm with you 100%.
That's the best part about this movie. And that's the only additive that I could give is the only thing good about this movie is you want to play the original films again. So
you go back to the copy you already have, so it really doesn't help.
No, you don't buy a new one.
But, you know.
I'll buy a second copy on Steam for a friend. Why not?
There you go.
So the final thing that we do before we sign off is we determine whether we give this franchise, and we do have another movie that we'll probably do sometime down the line.
Good. Let's do it.
Are we going to give Dead Space, as a film franchise, an extra life? Or a game over.
Okay, I don't want to too many qualifiers on that, but I mean, as a franchise, meaning potentially a live action, potentially somewhere
in the skate.
Yeah, because the universe is unfreaking believable. So all of the thumbs up for let's give this another shot, because the IP as a whole is awesome. I think the ideas that play with unitology and talk about independent thought, like that stuff's fantastic, and I think there's a lot of things to explore there, for sure.
Absolutely.
A 1,000,000% yes.
Mm-hmm.
So that's two extra lives?
Yeah, I think it could have an extra life in a different direction.
EA is starting to move across different, again, that stupid word, transmedia, and really explore these properties. And while they did say that there's no plans on doing a Dead Space movie again, horror is back in a big way.
Dude, I just saw Babadook. Yeah. Have you seen this movie?
I don't want to see Babadook.
Do not see this movie. Sorry, go ahead.
So in that regard, they have so many different properties, not necessarily just for horror, but they have Dead Space as a property that they could utilize as a Netflix series.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. There's so many options available for them to reignite this property.
Yeah.
And I think Daredevil was a good example of what gore and just viscera can be, and if they take that next step, I think they could do this a bunch of different ways. Now that I've said Netflix series, I really want to see a Dead Space Netflix series.
I know.
That's a great format for it. It really is.
So EA Studios, if you're watching, 3 producer credits.
That idea is free.
Right here.
Get with Netflix. Make it happen.
Before, I know I've said it several times before we sign off, but before we sign off, I wanted to let you know what the next movie we're going to be doing is. We're going to be doing, in 2 weeks' time, November 16th, Tomb Raider, The Cradle of Life, to help celebrate Rise of the Tomb Raider.
Hate me, Mark.
Before the good, we have to endure the bad.
I agree with that. I will like the game so much more.
It is our life's purpose.
It is my life's purpose.
Patrick. You're
correct. I always lose sight of that, weirdly, every other week. So I lose sight of that.
It's the Sir Richard Wentworth helps us in the beginning of the show to remind us of our life's goal. So make sure to check that movie out in 2 weeks' time. Check back here with us using the hashtag VGM Anatomy. But before we're back, where can the folks find you?
You can find me on Twitter. I'm at P to the D's. I also host a video game podcast. I mean, ostensibly, it's about a video game. It's a bunch of nonsense. Tweet at Soapbox Mark over there to get him on Pixel by Pixel. But
that
you can find
right.
that on iTunes.
You can find...
All right, that's just unceremoniously.
Good? Yeah.
Okay, you can find me on Twitter as well. I'm at Ye Old Nerd, but most of the time I'm running around as a nerd doing stuff at Nerds Doing Stuff.
And you can find me on Twitter at Soapbox Mark and a bunch of other shows here on the Popcorn Talk Network, as well as AfterBuzz. Jedi Alliance, we just covered a bunch of stuff on a weekly basis. We're going to be talking Battlefront in a couple weeks. But until next time, we will see you at the movies. Let's do that. Why not, as a sign-off?
From producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the rest of the Anatomy of a Movie staff, we would like to thank you for listening and subscribing to the show. If you have any questions or comments, feel free to email or tweet us. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been Anatomy of a Movie.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.